Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. From Tehran to Athens to Algiers to Frankfurt, 52 Americans made that journey yesterday after 444 days of captivity in Iran. John Shane watched their arrival in West Germany late last night.
It was their first step onto friendly soil, off the hospital planes, onto the U.S. air base at Rhein Main. Weary though they were after some 12 hours of travel to Algeria and then to Germany, the freed Americans were jubilant. They waved to a cheering crowd of American military people, diplomats, and students. Two groups of Americans across 100 feet of asphalt, trying to signal each other feelings too complex to put into words, let alone waving hands and yellow ribbons. The former hostages, in the warm, fur-lined Air Force flight jackets they had been given on the flight from Algiers, hugged each other and laughed on the blue buses that were to take them to Wiesbaden and became again the 52 who had shared experiences no one else would ever understand. Michael Landers watched the former hostages' arrival at the hospital in Wiesbaden.
There were welcoming cheers and an almost spontaneous outburst of emotion from a crowd in and around the Wiesbaden hospital. This hospital and the people who run it have been ready and waiting more than 14 months for the hostages to come here for that crucial decompression period before they return to their families. Welcoming signs and banners hanging from the hospital balcony and yellow ribbons tied to the entrance doorway greeted the 52 as they stepped from their buses, looking a little more tired than when they got off their planes from Algiers an hour or so before. The ex-hostages waved tiny American flags and then went into the hospital for check-in and those first crucial telephone calls back home. Michael Landers, CBS News, Wiesbaden.
Jimmy Carter, no longer president but acting as President Reagan's personal envoy, left Georgia this morning for Wiesbaden, accompanied by former Vice President Mondale, to greet the returnees. Lee Thornton is covering the trip.
When the plane that so recently served as Air Force One took off from Warner Robins Air Force Base in Georgia, it was for Jimmy Carter like the old times that ended only yesterday. There was the former president, top-ranking members of the Carter administration, top advisors, Secret Service agents, and reporters. A second plane for reporters, photographers, and staff was also en route from Washington to Wiesbaden, West Germany. Mr. Carter delayed his departure for West Germany by some hours, so that the freed Americans might have some rest. Mr. Carter himself had had virtually no sleep for two successive nights and retired early last evening, his first night back home in Plains. Sources said the former president was dejected about the convergence of events that saw him out of office at the time that the hostages soared to freedom outside of Iranian airspace. But they added that Mr. Carter's role as official U.S. representative to greet the returning Americans will help. Lee Thornton, CBS News, with the Carter Party.
One of Mr. Carter's close aides, who won't let his name be used, says you can't come to any other conclusion than that the Iranians deliberately held the hostages until President Carter left office. They did it on purpose, says the aide. With the hostage crisis over, this is morning after at the State Department. Diane Sawyer has the story.
It is an unusually quiet morning at the State Department, where one administration is ending and another beginning. One frustrating, painful chapter in American foreign policy is over, and a new sense of anticipation beginning to build. There is still an Iran working group this morning, but with little more to do than index the files and answer the occasional phone calls. And at the Justice Department, the practical tasks ahead underscore the enormity of what has happened. Today, the Justice Department will file papers in court explaining the legal positions it has taken in the agreement with Iran. Soon, notices will go out in the Federal Register to the 3,000 claimants against Iran that the government is going to end their suits. But the real legacy of the hostage crisis is intangible. It will be present in the efforts of American diplomats to figure out in the months ahead what they did wrong. And it will be present in the tough talk of the Reagan administration to insist that such an agonizing, paralyzing crisis would never happen again. Diane Sawyer, CBS News at the State Department.
This morning, a sort of now it can be told story about the crisis, reported from Globe, Arizona by Harold Dow.
For the past 14 months, all of the hostage families have had good reason to worry about the safety of their loved ones being held in Iran. But during all of that time, Mary and Jesse Lopez carried an even greater burden. Their son, Marine Sergeant Jimmy Lopez, was more than just a hostage. He was a hero. Jimmy was the one who was responsible for getting those six Americans out of the U.S. Embassy, the six people who took refuge in the Canadian Embassy and later escaped to freedom. We had a talk with Mary and Jesse Lopez.
They did ask him to go with him. He said no. He said he had a faraway look and said, no, I can't leave my fellow Americans behind.
He was afraid it would be desertion. He stayed. We're not surprised. We're proud of him. But it's something he would do.
He's all military. Marine training is what did it for him. He's beautiful.
Early this morning, Jimmy made that long-awaited phone call to his family. In the Lopez home, the scene was extremely emotional. There were tears, laughter, and joy.
I can't describe it.
Oh, wow. It's a beautiful feeling to hear his voice again, you know?
Jimmy is presently 50 pounds lighter than he was 14 months ago, but no one in the Lopez home seemed too concerned about that. In fact, the whole family is planning to lay some heavy love on him when they become reunited in Washington. Harold Dow, CBS News, Globe, Arizona.
Yesterday, beyond all doubt, must have been the most eventful day in the life of Ronald Reagan. We'll hear about it from Reed Collins.
President Reagan took the oath of office at 2 minutes to noon, and his inaugural day ended a few minutes past midnight, dancing with his wife. Among his first official acts was to sign an order freezing new federal hiring. His inaugural message was to restate his campaign promises, less government and lower taxes. He brushed away tears as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir wound up the inaugural parade with the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But there were no tears as he and the new First Lady toured the inaugural balls sprinkled about Washington. As he went, he kept his jam-packed audiences abreast of the flight homeward of the hostages. At the last appearance at the American History Museum, he issued his final report.
The last bulletin I can give tonight to you here is that I don't call them hostages. I call them prisoners of war. And I am happy to say now that they are only minutes away from landing in Wiesbaden, Germany.
Then the president turned the conversation from serious to social.
Do you mind if I have the last dance with my lady?
You'll never know.
They danced the last dance and retired to their new home on Pennsylvania Avenue. Reed Collins, CBS News, Washington.
This morning, after swearing in his White House staff, Mr. Reagan plans to hold a cabinet meeting and have lunch in the Oval Office. This afternoon, he meets with the National Security Council. A delegation of the Central Committee of the Soviet Communist Party ends a visit to Warsaw today. Bert Quinn tells us that officials there describe the visit as routine, but it's reported unofficially that the Soviet group gave Polish leaders some lessons in handling the mass media.
That was no problem here until the agreements that brought an end to last summer's strikes promised a free press. While censorship has not been abolished, it has been greatly relaxed with considerable news coverage given union activities. Another recent visitor to Warsaw was the Soviet marshal who commands the Warsaw Pact armies. These fraternal visits, as they are called, have come, by coincidence or not, at a moment when the regime is toughening its stand on independent labor. Leaders of the Solidarity Association, at a meeting in Gdansk yesterday, gave what they said was another example of this toughening. When Lech Wałęsa returned from Rome Monday, he and some of his aides met with Polish Premier Pinkowski and came away, the union men said, with the feeling that the government is not willing to negotiate on the subject of the five-day week or other matters. At the Gdansk meeting, Solidarity offered to compromise and urged that negotiations be held immediately. There has been no reply from government officials. The unions planned several more warning strikes, including a four-hour general work stoppage in Gdansk tomorrow. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
The price of gold rose today overseas. It was fixed in London at $576 an ounce. The dollar declined. Prices on the New York Stock Exchange began eroding yesterday in the first hours of the Reagan presidency, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed off more than 20 points on heavy volume. The market appeared unmoved by either Mr. Reagan's inaugural address or the end of the hostage crisis.
I'm Deborah Potter reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The first official appointment on the new president's schedule this morning was a swearing-in ceremony for the senior members of his staff.
We are a team. We're going to act as a team. Now, a word about loyalty. I've had reason to learn from almost everyone here and this staff their great capacity for personal loyalty. Where I'm concerned, I'm deeply grateful for that. But we have a new kind of loyalty now. Our loyalty must be only to this nation and to the people that we represent.
Mr. Reagan is now meeting with the members of his cabinet, only one of whom has been officially confirmed by the Senate. Casper Weinberger won approval yesterday as Secretary of Defense on a 97-2 vote. The Senate is scheduled to vote today on the confirmation of Alexander Haig as Secretary of State. Approval is expected. More news after this.
We can plant a rose bush in a flower pot and it will probably grow and even bloom, but it can never reach its full potential. Its growth and development are limited because its roots are restricted. But if we take the bush out of the pot and plant it in the open garden, its roots are free to reach out and grow. Now the plant can flourish and bloom abundantly. Isn't it true that sometimes we allow our own progress and growth to become restricted? We sometimes fail to realize the tremendous potential for growth that lies within us. Each year, many men and women take the Dale Carnegie course because they want a new perspective of themselves and their own capabilities. They want to recognize and develop more of their capacity for progress and achievement. They want to make their lives more productive and fulfilling. For a free brochure, call Dale Carnegie toll-free 800-231-5800. That's Dale Carnegie 800-231-5800. In Texas, call 800-392-2424.
It's decompression time today for the former American hostages. The 52 arrived in West Germany early this morning after the long flight from Iran. A crowd of about 2,000 greeted them at the Rhein-Main Air Force Base with shouts of welcome home and chants of USA. The welcome was just as warm at the military hospital in Wiesbaden, where the returnees will spend the next few days in what's described as decompression, undergoing medical exams, resting, and catching up on what they've missed. One of the things they missed the most was contact with their relatives, and as soon as they arrived in Wiesbaden, they started making up for lost time using a bank of toll-free phones. There were tears of joy and tears of relief on both sides of the Atlantic. More on one family story from David Dick.
The parents of Marine Sergeant Johnny McKeel say he told them in their first telephone conversation early this morning that his Iranian captors had told him his mother was dead.
He said that they were interrogating him, that he wasn't giving them anything but his, you know, name, rank, and journal. And finally they come on and said, your mother is dead, and if you want to go back to the funeral and everything, said, we'll let you go if you'll tell us what we want you to tell us.
Well, he didn't know that he got to Wiesbaden, you were alive.
Mrs. McKeel called the Iranians who had held her son barbaric. Mr. McKeel said he wouldn't care if the United States turned Iran into a parking lot. David Dick, CBS News, Balk Springs, Texas.
Former President Carter will see the freed Americans later today. He's making the trip to Germany as the special envoy of President Reagan. And Mr. Carter says he wants to express to the former hostages, in his words, the thanks of a grateful nation to the brave people who had been held so long. The Supreme Court today stripped a former Nazi of his American citizenship because he obtained it illegally. The court ruled 7-2 that Fyodor Fedorenko had concealed his guard service at the Treblinka concentration camp when he entered this country. More CBS News after this.
Winter is the perfect time to catch up on many home fix-ups, and now True Value Hardware Stores offer great values in their Super 8 circular on the tools and supplies you may need. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you look there for quality tools to do the job right, like the Master Mechanic 5-piece screwdriver set for just $298. Stop by True Value Hardware Store's electrical and plumbing departments for supplies like the Lutron rotary dimmer, just $268. And for matched chrome finish bath accessories like soap dishes and towel bars, just 98 cents each. Then refresh walls with quality True Test paints like Select Flat Latex Wall Finish in white and six colors, now just $7.98 a gallon. Do it yourself, and you'll save with these helpful values and more featured in the Super 8 Circular and at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers.
True Value Hardware, it's more than just a name. It's our way of doing business that means true value.
More labor trouble is brewing in Poland. A warning strike has been called for tomorrow in Gdansk as the independent trade union Solidarity presses its demand for Saturdays off. The union leadership voted last night to ignore the advice of Lech Walesa and urge Solidarity members to stay home this Saturday. The union says the workers will avoid losing a day's pay by calling their action a strike and collecting strike benefits. On Wall Street in the first hour of trading, the Dow Jones average is down 0.94. Volume 10,570,000 shares, the average standing at 949.74. I'm Deborah Potter, CBS News.
Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Now that all the hostages are out, Richard Queen, who was released earlier, feels free to talk about how it was and even to admit that at times he hated his captors.
There were a few that were fairly quite decent. Not too many, just a few. There were also some that were real slimy, weaselly, despicable individuals. And then there's a large number in between, which I had no feelings about.
Queen's story of what he calls the Gestapo raid, the midnight firing squad, the night of the white masks, in just a moment.
When even I stopped going to my own coffee club, I knew something was wrong. It had to be my coffee. Then I switched to new improved Kava Instant. Now no one leaves my house with a bitter feeling. Kava's the only 90% acid neutralized coffee. That means it tastes less bitter when you drink it, so it feels better after. And with its improved blend of coffee beans, Kava tastes better than ever. Now my coffee club is so popular, I even turned down my own mother.
New improved Kava Instant. Tastes better when you drink it, so it feels better after.
If you use a long-lasting nasal spray, you ought to check the package. If it has a big 12 on it, you're getting the longest-lasting relief you can get. You're using Duration Nasal Spray. Duration is different because Duration has the longest-lasting nasal decongestant, so Duration gives you up to 12 hours of relief. That's up to 2 to 4 hours longer relief than most other long-lasting nasal sprays. Look for the nasal spray with the big 12 on it. Duration. The proof is on the package. The package with the big 12 on it. For occasional use only as directed.
Richard Queen feels now he can tell about the night he thought he'd be killed early last February.
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and what they did was they first closed the metal door that separated one group of us from the other group and didn't know what was happening. And they opened the door, and men with masks, white masks, came in. They were dressed in fatigues, combat boots, carrying weapons, automatic rifles.
Queen says he and his fellow hostages didn't know what was happening.
They just shouted at us, and they just pushed us along. They pushed us into a room in the mushroom, a large room in the mushroom. And we were lined against several walls. And they pushed us against the wall, kicked our feet apart. We were all in there. I was one of the last to go in there. And we were all lined up against the wall. And at first, I understand, when they moved the first group in there, they had everybody lie down. But one commander, Scherer, said, "You're going to shoot me standing up, not lying down. I refuse to lie down." So they were all standing up when I came in.
Then Queen says there weren't any more shouts.
There was a dead silence. And then all I heard was this metallic clicking of the weapons, locking the bolts, removing the safety, I don't know which, but it was just this only describe it as a harsh metallic click. And I really thought that was it. I sat there, I stood up, and I couldn't even begin to describe what it's like. I knew that was it, my last moment, and I just tried to give myself last rites. Said the Lord's Prayer and just tried to give myself my last rites because I was sure that we had just breathed our last, and I breathed my last.
Queen and the others were stripped, searched, their rooms torn apart, and that was that. But the incident frightened Queen and the others, no question.
Just when you think, when I thought things were getting more adjusted, settled, I was becoming adapted as best I could to this life, this happened. And there's no reason for it. There was no reason for it at all. as far as I could figure out. And now, just might have been just a pure terror tactic. I think it was, because I know a couple times after someone came by and they said, if you're not careful, the men in the white mask will be back.
It is something Richard Queen is not likely ever to forget.
It didn't go from my memory, but it receded. And that was a real reminder that at any moment, I could be killed. All of us could be killed.
And now this.
Have newspaper headlines of soaring interest rates and tight credit made you put off buying that new car or truck you need today? Well, GMAC has the answer. Your GM dealer who uses GMAC not only has money available, but at rates that make good sense. In fact, rates today haven't changed that much from rates 3 or 4 years ago when you bought your last car. Check out all the models at your Chevy, Pontiac, Olds, Buick, Cadillac, or GMC truck dealer. Your GM dealer has the GMAC financing you need today.
Newsbreak, Charles Osgood, CBS News.